Hello, everyone. We are back with another episode of Urbanize. My name is Wally Brown, and today I'm just a human. I'm standing in front of Monica Rogers, the myth, the legend, the B-girl. How you doing, Monica?
What's up? I'm doing good.
Hey, okay. So, thanks for coming through. We're on a Sunday afternoon. We're at my house.
Mm-hmm. Sun is shining.
The sun is shining. Yeah. The sun is not a cloud in the sky. Okay. Are you ready to get started?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it. And just for all the folks out there, our background noise is Space 3 Jazzy Beats, the 1 hour playlist by Steezy as Fuck. We'll drop the link in the chat. Check them out. Okay. So, our first question, you know, we'll keep it light. Mm-hmm. Who are you? You know, just like, what's your name, your dance style? Uh-huh. Like, what's your professional thing? Like, what's your background, Monica?
Okay. Yeah. So my name is Monica, but I also go by B-Girl 2Flow.
Ooh.
I started breaking back in 2012. And in Spokane, Washington, which is where I'm from. And then I moved to Portland in 2017.
Okay.
And yeah.
That's dope.
That's the basics.
Do you know a girl named Jenny by any chance?
Yeah, Jenny, she lives in Hawaii now.
Jenny Johnston?
I can't remember. I think that's her last
name. She was a B-girl?
Yeah, she was in Spokane for a little bit, and then now she's in Hawaii. Yeah.
I met her.
Yeah,
she's cool.
She's really cool. Yeah.
Shout out to Jenny.
Yeah.
Okay.
B-girl, Miss Freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, where's your name come from? Where does 2Flow come from?
Yeah. So I was dancing with a Paper Cutout Crew.
Paper Cutout Crew.
Yeah.
Is that Mario?
They're Spokane OG.
Okay.
Yeah. So my homies from back in the day. My chosen family, second family type, you know, friends that last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And so my homie Hector and Kai.
Oh.
So shout out to B-Boy Zavroni and B-Girl Killer Kai.
Okay.
We were all sessioning.
Wait, is that from Holes, Hector Zavroni?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. All right.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So his B-Boy name is
Zavroni. Let's do it. Okay.
But yeah, we were practicing back in Spokane in like 2012, 2013.
Okay.
And they were like watching me cypher and they're like, oh, you've got such flow. You should be called B-Girl 2Flow. And so they gifted me that name and I was like, I'm honored. I will take that. And then when I started battling, which was until a little bit later, I was like, okay, I'll just battle by this B-Girl name. So. And then
let's do it.
With me ever since.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is great. Okay. Are you from Spokane?
Yeah. So I was originally born in Vancouver, BC, but I moved to Spokane when I was 9 years old and I went to college in that area. So been there since, and then lived in Seattle for a year and then moved to Portland. So PNW my whole life. But
I feel it.
Yeah.
Very Canadian vibes. Okay.
Half Canadian vibes.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Let's do it. All right. So, what brought you to Portland?
So my partner, he got into PA school at OHSU.
Physical assistant?
Yep.
Okay.
Physician's assistant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
So he went to school down here. So that's why we originally came down here. And we also liked Portland. So it was on the top of our list for options of places to move. And then after school, he got a job at the hospital. So he stayed and he decided to stay. And then since then, we've just been like really loving it here and feeling that, you know, deepening of like community, those layers you get over years of being one place. So
I feel it.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Okay. So like, how did you start dancing?
So when I was in college, I was taking ballet classes at the time. I had taken ballet classes as a kid and then wanted to come back to it as an adult.
Like elective type stuff or like, all right.
Yeah, just an elective ballet class. But I really connected with my ballet teacher. And so I did that for a couple of years. And then I was, so I considered myself, you know, like really interested in dance and stuff. But, and then I was working with an exchange student program at the school. I was like, working with exchange students.
Where were they coming from?
Mostly Japan, but I worked with another program that had students from all over, like Saudi Arabia.
Is PSU?
Eastern Washington University.
Okay, where?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eastern Washington.
Yeah, EWU. EWU. Yep.
Oh, EWU. Let's do it.
It's cool.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Yeah. But anyway, so I ended up hanging out with a few exchange students that then knew like another friend of mine because they were all breakers.
Oh yeah.
And so inevitably by the end of the hangout, they would like push the coffee table out of the way and, you know, socks.
Now that we're done with this, yep. Now that we're done with work, let's go right now.
And so I was like, well, this is really cool. I don't want to just watch. I want to try this. And so I asked them to show me some things and started getting down and was immediately hooked. And yeah, so yeah, then I just kept showing up and we would session in the garage until like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Let's do it. Oh yeah,
like grinding, just kind of partying a little bit too much probably, but you know, session party.
It's life.
Session
is life.
Yeah,
this is what it is. Yeah. You're just expressing and enjoying life.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's kind of how it started.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. And what introduced you to what or who introduced you to the Portland dance scene?
So when I first moved here, I was working restaurants, and that was pretty brutal. So I had no evenings or weekends. So
damn.
I wasn't dancing a whole lot at that time.
Damn.
I was doing some other styles and stuff, but,
okay.
But I knew of, let's see, who did I first know down here? Well, I had some friends from Spokane that had moved down here.
Okay.
You know, T.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Connor was from Spokane too.
I can see Connor from Spokane.
Yeah.
And now it makes sense. T too. I can see their energy.
Yeah. So I used to know them, and then I think it was mainly my homegirl Christine who I met when I went to some jams here and there, not a whole lot, but for the first couple of years. And she immediately, you know, like extended her hand as another B-girl, you know,
it's
that instant connection thing that happens where you're like, ah, yes, you. We're on the same page, you know. So I connected with her, but I didn't end up I didn't really have a whole lot of time to, like, go to sessions and jams and stuff until a couple of years in.
Yeah.
And then started dancing more and just kind of met everybody through that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is good. And what is your current, like, role? Or in the local dance scene, like, how do you see yourself?
Interesting. Well, I've been doing a lot of reflecting on that in the last couple years. I guess since like a year ago, I kind of hit my like 10-year mark.
Oh yeah.
I've like started breaking, not necessarily breaking for 10 years straight, because I did take some breaks here and there, but you know, 10 years since I started breaking.
Yeah.
I remember that. I've heard that from other breakers that's kind of a significant moment, and kind of, I don't know, makes you reflect on like what your role is.
And
I think that the main thing that's been like inspiring my journey is seeing other women succeed, not only in their dance style, but in providing like such elevation to the community through their practice.
Yeah.
And so I've had so many like inspiring B-girls to look up to over the years. And then seeing in Portland where, you know, like for a little bit there, it was just me and Christine, and it felt kind of like we were the only B-girls that were active at that time. And so we supported each other a lot, but we felt like we wanted to do something more to bring that. And one of my inspirations is B-Girl Naj, who I met in Seattle.
The Mirage?
Naj the Mirage. I met her in Seattle when we would drive up for jams from Spokane, because Spokane's too small to have its own like real scene besides like that one crew, you know? Yeah. And it was really dope to see another B-girl just like killing it. Naj and Bean and Lee. And I reconnected with her, and she had started something called Cypher Queens in 2019 in Seattle. Mm. It was a space for women to enter the scene and like learn all levels. Mm. And I really saw how that was like really thriving, and wanted to maybe do something like that here. So Christine and I were like, Naj, we want to follow after your footsteps.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that the last about year or so.
It's like a cross-state organization now.
Yeah, we've got chapters now.
It's like a nonprofit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's connected to the Goodfoot Arts Collective in Seattle.
I feel
and
that.
Also to Osik Zulu.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Goodfoot Arts Collective is an awesome nonprofit, and they've been really, really helpful for us in like navigating how to go about this and everything. So, yeah.
How many chapters are there?
Just two right now.
Okay.
But we're expanding, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So, like, what's your current, I don't know, what's next for you in the world of dance? Like, you came in, individual dancer, now you're helping like host space for other dancers, still competing, active.
A little bit,
practicing.
I'll do more competing, I think would be dope. And I've been taking some classes with B-Boy Surge.
Oh yeah.
And that's been dope, and I've really been like seeing how pushing myself to like learn more combos and stacks and stuff can like you know, I'm such a cypher head, so like I love just grooving out and like top. I'm motivated more to practice like footwork and top rock just like hanging out, and it takes a little extra push for me to want to like put the work in to get super strong to do like power and freezes and stuff. But seeing other B-girls in battles like have full complete sets where they're doing tops, they're doing footwork, they're doing power and phrases. I'm like, that's really dope and well-rounded. So I think that's my goal next year, is to be a little bit more well-rounded. And I think that entering more competitions will be helpful with that. So
I feel it. Yeah. This is good. I think you got this.
Thanks.
I'm excited. I see those mills coming.
I know, windmills. I'm after you, man.
You got it.
I'm coming.
Oh my gosh. No, I feel that. Everybody's got like that. It's like everybody has like that Moby Dick, like that whale of a move. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to get you. But then it's like, yeah. All right. And shout out to Captain Ahab. All right. So we're going to get introspective.
Okay.
What advice do you have for young people who will inherit our scene and be the leaders of tomorrow?
Ooh. Dang.
Damn.
That's deep.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that, like, what I hear from people who are older or, like, more OGs, like, the message that they pass down to us is often, like, don't forget about the roots.
Oh, yeah.
Of this culture, and don't forget about the history.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to recognize, like, especially as you're benefiting from a culture, it's really important to acknowledge and respect, like, where it came from. And so I think that for the new generation, for new people, I would say kind of like similar, definitely know the roots and you know, respect the what the elders of this craft had to go through to bring this down to these generations.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, look forward at, like, how we can do better, and, like, what are some ways that maybe we've kept ourselves stuck in the past because we've refused to evolve.
Yeah.
And, like, I think there's a lot of conversations about, like, inclusion and, like, equality or, you know, and, like, the value of diversity and like what everyone has to offer. And I think that, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in old patterns of like, maybe
maybe some toxic masculinity stuff, you know, that's been passed down from generation, or
speak on it.
Maybe some, you know, white privilege where we're not really acknowledging like the privilege that we have coming into a scene that comes from Black and brown communities or things like that. So I think that moving forward and like looking at how we can like be embrace those like qualities and let go, embrace the qualities that are going to elevate us,
yeah,
and learn how to break old patterns that are holding us back.
Yeah Let's do it.
Yeah.
What are some barriers you had to face, and you don't have to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of touched on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, like, mm-hmm, what do you think are like some barriers that you had to face that you would tell people to watch out for, especially as a B-girl?
Mm-hmm.
Not exclusively as a B-girl, because mm-hmm, you're a dancer too, but mm-hmm, like, what would you say? Like, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely, and some people might disagree with me, some B-boys might disagree with me, but I think that there is definitely an inherent extra barrier to entering hip-hop in general, maybe, but definitely breaking,
yeah,
as a woman versus if you're, you know, a cis man.
Yeah.
But that's not to say it's not possible, you know, to break through. But yeah, I think that's a barrier. And then it's just like interesting that the thing that I find so beautiful about breaking is that it's equally an art form and a sport.
Yeah.
And so in that way, there's like all the inherent problems of being an artist, where like, you know, usually it comes down to like money and resources and like,
yeah,
to support doing your craft. Like,
yeah,
when it rains outside, you got to rent a studio. You got to buy new shoes when your shoes break down, you know, just to be able to do your craft. But
yeah,
it's not a sport where you're like, I mean, you are winning, maybe you can win jams and stuff, but like, we're all buying into the pot, into this community, when we're like buying tickets for the jam, yeah, that you're entering, you know? And so,
yeah,
Nike's, you know, like mostly out there for the big athletes and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, Nike's been around in Portland, but it's, yeah, not the same kind of like, you don't get a sponsorship for being a B-boy unless, yeah, you're like top level. So those are barriers definitely that like, I think all of us have had to like learn how to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I wonder what is like, what's one dance event,
mm-hmm,
or accomplishment that you're most proud of?
I would say for sure, like being a part of the Cypher Queens collective,
okay,
has been really fulfilling and super inspiring. And I feel,
yeah,
really, really honored to be able to like have a part of that.
Let's do it. Y'all got a lot of members.
Yeah, I mean, it's growing. Like,
yeah,
Seattle, they come down for jams down here.
Yeah.
It's really dope. It's really always fun to like go up to go to workshops up there, and just like that, like, I don't know, sisterhood feeling is really dope. I feel like,
yeah,
I could travel anywhere for a jam and there would be B-girls somewhere, you know,
yeah,
willing to like connect and like kick it and
no
stuff.
Doubt.
So yeah, and I'm proud of like that, you know, me and Christine have been able to like keep it going for over a year now.
Yeah.
And so yeah, does any project, you know, that you start and then a year later you're like, it's growing, instead,
yeah,
of like, oh, I started that and then it fell off.
Yeah,
you
know,
that's, I'm really grateful and proud of that. So
I feel it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. That's beautiful. I'm wondering, is there like one dance event in the world that you want to attend?
I haven't really thought about that. I mean, it would be cool to go to a jam abroad, I think.
You need to go.
Yeah.
There's so many B-girls. I'm, yeah, surprised that there aren't more B-girls like here.
Uh-huh.
Because like, yeah, when I go to other places, like it's like a lot more,
yeah,
normal.
That's interesting.
Like, there's a lot more, especially like in Asia when I was in Korea,
yes,
and Japan.
Yeah.
Still barriers,
yes,
still stigma.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like there's like a critical mass.
Interesting.
Like, there's like a base level. Like when you got, yeah, like five people, maybe there's enough for like a B-girl crew.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, once it reaches that level, yeah, then it's like, all right, well, we don't need, You know, like you don't just need acceptance from like the predominant male, like whatever. You often just have your own practice. And I feel like y'all are reaching that with like Cypher Queens, like all female practices and stuff. Like that's dope. Because I feel like that takes, like, there's going to be some people who are like, the entry is like misogyny. And then like, if you can, like, most of our practice spaces are like run by men. You know what I mean? So it's like having that, I feel like that's like, y'all are opening the portal.
Yes, I think so. Well, now we also have Caitlin, B-girl Kato.
Oh, yeah, Kato Wade.
She moved from Seattle. So she was hanging out with the Cypher Queens in Seattle. Now shout she's out down here.
Shout
so
out Kato Wade.
So, yeah, we got like, we got at least three of us.
Yeah.
Now.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's enough for a crew.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. There's literally a 3v3 coming up. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And it's in Washington. Let's go.
Hey.
Let's do it. All
right.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So wondering, how do you balance dance in your like day or night job? How do you balance dance with your human self?
Yeah, that's always a struggle. Especially like working, I work in the restaurant industry. And so those hours are pretty often evening and weekend.
Yeah.
And so like for the summer, I was working Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah,
which is really tricky, but you know, it's just I think about like as much as you're able to like adjust your life, you know, there's certain necessities, like obviously you gotta work, you know, and stuff, but looking at those priorities and being able to like stand up for what you know is like gonna fulfill you or nurture you or what's your purpose or your calling, and like learning how to move things around for that. So like I hit my 6 months at my new job, and I talked to my manager and I was like, I really need a consistent schedule that's maybe not always on the weekends.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you just got to ask for what you need. And now I got a Monday through Wednesday schedule, and sometimes I pick up a weekend shift, but most of the time I don't work, which means I can go to jams and I can go to evening practices and stuff that are happening on like a Thursday or Friday. So that's really helped, is just like, you know, I don't know, doubling down and like reflecting on those priorities and being like, I might have to sacrifice something here and something there, or I might have to be bold and really like ask for what I need. But
boundaries.
It's been really helpful to, definitely having better boundaries to allow myself to put more of my time and energy into dance.
I feel it. I feel like there's like individual work or like being able to communicate your boundaries, and then like being a part of a community, it's like once you communicate it, it's on others to respect those once you've set them. And that's nice. That I'm happy for you that you found that.
I'm very happy too.
Let's do it. Let's see. If you had, what inspires you to keep moving forward?
Well, these are some deep questions.
Yeah, that's what we gotta do. This is what we're here for. Let's go.
I love it. I think that, you know, like, if you're talking about, like, keep moving forward and dance, or in general.
We can start with dance, then let's expand it out. Because dance is just a part of life.
I think that, you know, there's so much going on in the world right now. Life, even when life is great, it's still challenging. And so when life is hard, it's really a lot for a lot of people. And I'm really lucky. My life is, I have a lot of blessings in my life. And so seeing that that's not the case for everyone can sometimes just like, it's hard to reconcile that. But I think that like being a creative person, having an outlet of an art form that allows you to express your emotions, express your feeling, and just channel something like outside of yourself, like channeling that beauty or that creativity like that comes from music and dance, and like letting that flow through your physical body, and just like being an instrument for something creative and something beautiful helps me personally like cope with all of the craziness of the world and
life. It.
And
yeah,
you know, it's not necessarily the answer to a lot of problems, but mm-mm. And yet also I think it really is.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I need space. I think it helps me compartmentalize the world too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We have, if you had the ability to change one thing about the scene today, mm-hmm. local or global,
mm-hmm.
what would you change and why?
Ooh. Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, there could be maybe something more fundamentally like important, but the first thing that comes to mind to me is like, I just see a lot how like a lot of these old patriarchal and like toxic masculine things are like holding all of us back. You know, it's not just like, oh, women are, you know, like have to deal with misogyny, particularly in this scene, but like, I don't know. It's, I don't know how to articulate exactly, but I just see like how those old patterns are like learned from a lot of like our society or like some of the traumas that our culture has been through.
It creates a cycle.
Sometimes I'm like, man, if we could just break out of this, like, you know, when you see like B-boys trying to get into a fist fight at a jam, you're like, why? We are here. The whole reason we're here is like because breaking came out of a need to like not continue cycles of violence and learn how to channel.
Wait, what'd you say? Creative. What'd you say about my shoes? What?
You want it? Yeah, exactly.
Because like, we can.
So I don't know. Sometimes I see that and I just like I get it. Like I don't have a lot of experiences in like what a lot of other people have gone through that might have led them to have these patterns. You know, I'm not a male.
Yeah.
I have a lot of privilege.
You probably send mail though.
Huh?
Packages and.
I do send mail. Sometimes.
So you got a connection.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's what comes to mind. It's like, I wish we could just chill a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel it.
You know,
I feel
machismo energy a little bit.
So yeah.
A little too much.
A little too much.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes like the dance is like, to me, it's like, well, from my perspective, mm-hmm. like I'll say, I think more normally when people want to get to a fist fight, it's because they can't, like, they feel like they can't express that emotion through dance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and like normally it's not, I don't know. Not connecting it with skill, but kind of sort of, it's like.
I mean, breaking like, is really like, you know, it is a battle. It is a fight. But like you're channeling that aggressive energy towards. Like dancing,
the whole point is to communicate via non, like it's almost like you've lost confidence in your ability to express yourself,
you know,
in one
your
way
dance can't back you up, so you gotta turn to violence or your fist.
That's what
like,
I mean, that's
that just
what...
seems like a weak b-boy, you know.
I think so. And normally like weak, and like you can even have strong skills but still be like, someone's always gonna have, there's always going to be another person who's just as good, maybe even better, you know, add different things. And it's like, how do you deal with that? How do you cope with like your perception of the world being different than what you experienced?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. There's a lot of layers there. I can't really speak on, you know, I'm not a guy.
I mean, you're there though. You see it. You're so human. I think it's a very human endeavor to be like, hey, I think most of these conflicts happen when somebody has constructed in their head like a ranking, like a local ranking, like I'm number two, I'm number one. And then when somebody upsets that ranking, it upsets like their sense of self.
Right.
They're like, whoa, I'm supposed to be number one here. And like, you're doing stuff that I can't do. Whoa, I'm offended. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take this. And anytime I do have something that I don't know how to think, I'm going to jump to aggression because I don't know how to process.
Right.
It's really another emotion.
Yeah.
It's really like insecurity. Maybe mm-hmm. it's like trauma. Maybe it's like, maybe I could do that thing if I weren't working like three shifts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It's always like, there's always layers, but I feel like that's
smart. Yeah, there's layers for sure.
Yeah, but we don't need to be like that.
We don't need to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's okay. It's good. Yeah. Let's do it. Any upcoming Cypher Queens events?
Ooh, so... we don't have any like events per se coming up, but I am really excited that we have been talking with Kevin, who hosts the Break Thyself session at Steps, and we found a time slot on Sundays from 2 to 3:30, which is right before the Break Thyself session, where we're gonna host Cypher Queens there, and we're starting in December. We're starting doing every other week, so we'll have two sessions a month starting so December 3rd,
level up,
and then the 14th, and then we're skipping for the holidays, but then in January we'll be back for two sessions, and then we're gonna ride that for a little bit and see how it goes. But we did one session that was back to back with Break Thyself, and it was, I really loved the energy. It was sick. Like, we got to warm up and like do our b-girl thing and like work on some combos that we've been working on and things like that, and then we rolled right into the b-boy session, and we were pumped from our own practice, so we like kept it going.
We rode that wave.
We had a little circle in the corner that was like all b-girls, and brought like a different energy, I feel like, to the practice, and it was dope to see some of the guys and like get down with them too. So I really like how that, like, the flow went. That was like,
It was nice to flow, huh?
Yep. All about them. All about them.
Okay, we just got a few more questions. Cool. You know, what is Monica Tuflo's favorite food?
Ooh, my favorite food.
Mm-hmm.
But I love so many foods.
I know.
Oh, I mean.
All right, it's winter.
Yeah, okay.
It's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Like it, what?
It's cold outside, but it's daytime.
Yeah.
And you want to get lunch after practice.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is I just had the other night a furry ramen.
Furry ramen?
A furry. It's a ramen.
Oh,
a ramen,
I was like, furry ramen?
Furry ramen.
I was like, what? They just leave the leave the feathers on the
Ew.
Chicken. Like, what? All right. Okay.
Yeah, I think on a cold day, like a hot bowl of ramen.
All right.
Ooey.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
You were tripping me out with this furry ramen. I was like, is it hamster meat? Like, what?
Gross.
I could see that though, and I was like, I'm not gonna judge if you like that. I'll judge a little bit, but it's
that's judgeable.
Maybe somebody likes it. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay. A furry. All right.
A furry.
For those who aren't in Portland, because some people who listen to this podcast from like Japan and stuff, a furry is a ramen place. It's the name of the store.
Yes.
It's not a furry bowl of.
It's not a furry bowl of.
Okay. Let's do it. You got anything, any final things for the audience to look out for?
I don't know. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
And that's all we need.
That's all we need.
All right. Well, thank you for coming through, Monica.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you. I'm hoping to blast the Cypher Queen stuff. If y'all ever have events, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. We should be coming up with some flyers soon.
Oh.
So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Happy Sunday, everyone.
Mm-hmm.